Bienvenidos and welcome to Surviving Spanish with Karen, a short podcast with targeted lessons to complement your Spanish learning. This week, we're going to be looking at answering questions of introduction. We're going to discuss suggested study times according to your level, and you're going to learn about Honduras. Have you ever heard about saturation? Think of a time that you studied something for 3 hours or more. Were you able to retain all of that information? Now, our brains are programmed to only take a certain amount of information at a time. It's important to pace yourself and give your brain time to absorb the knowledge that you're learning and store it in the right places. When students tell me that they just started learning a language, I feel so pumped for them, and I've been there. Like, I've tried to begin many languages, but if you go too hard, it's not long before you burn out. Now, saturation means that your brain literally reaches a level where it can't take any more. So here are my suggestions for how long you should study depending on your level. If you're a beginner of the language, you should be doing short, directed lessons in specific topics. You should not be studying longer than an hour, and if possible, on a daily basis. If you're an intermediate speaker of a language, I recommend that you do longer sessions, and you should be doing anywhere between an hour and an hour and a half, maybe 4 or 5 times a week. If you're an advanced speaker, you should be doing much longer learning or studying sessions, and they should be more research-based. Your lessons should be anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, and you should be doing these maybe 2 or 3 times a week. Now, I've seen these numbers work on students, so let me know if it works for you. Let's talk about answering questions of introduction. So in episode 2, we looked at 4 questions of introduction. We looked at ¿Cómo te llamas? ¿Cuál es tu nombre? ¿Eres americano? And ¿Cuánto tiempo tienes de estar en? Plus a place. So let's start off with responding to someone asking about your name. So both the questions ¿Cómo te llamas? And ¿Cuál es tu nombre? Are asking for your name. And you can respond to these questions using either one of the following phrases. You could say, me llamo Karen, or I'm called Karen, or mi nombre es Karen. My name is Karen. Now, me llamo means I call myself Karen or am called Karen. Whereas, mi nombre es Karen is literally, my name is Karen. Note, mi in Spanish, mi spelt M-I, is a possessive pronoun. So it's used to show possession. Mi nombre es Karen. It's equivalent in English to the word my. Mi nombre, my name. Whereas, me in Spanish, spelt M-E, me, is a reflexive pronoun. It's used to describe who is receiving the action. So when we say, me llamo Karen, who's receiving the name calling? It would be Karen. Its closest equivalent in English is the word am, like A-M, am. And we see am in words like, I am Karen. So me, M-E in Spanish, is closest to the word M in Spanish. So please note that these phrases are packages. You cannot take one part of these phrases and like add it to another or mix it in. And I say this because many of my students will try to say, me llamo es Karen. Me llamo es Karen. But what you're actually saying when you say that is, I'm called is Karen, which just doesn't work. So be aware. Now, how do you answer the question? ¿Eres americano? Are you American? So, interestingly enough, I've been asked while visiting El Salvador, my home country, if I'm American. And just in case you don't know, I'm pretty tanned, I would say caramel color, and I have dark long hair. But even in my home country of El Salvador, if you have any mannerisms that aren't from there, they just assume you're American. And you might be wondering, like, what are these mannerisms that you're talking about, Karen? And I'll give you a good example. So in Canada, it's polite to make eye contact when you pass people. That's seen as normal here. Whereas in El Salvador, if you look at someone and like straight in the eyes and you smile, you're either enticing them for conversation or like flirting with them. So be careful, because following cultural norms is important if you want to keep safe. Now back to the question. How do we answer? ¿Eres americano? Are you American? Now, if you are American, you can answer by just saying, sí, soy americano, if you're a man, or sí, soy americana, if you're a woman. Now, if you're not, you would say, no, no soy americano, soy, plus your nationality. So, no, no soy americano, no, I'm not American, soy, I am, plus your nationality. Now, remember, in Spanish, the word not doesn't exist. Instead, we use the word no to negate anything. So when you say no, no soy americano, one no is to answer the question of, are you American? And the second no is to replace the word not. If somebody asks you, ¿de dónde eres? ¿De dónde eres? Where are you from? You can say, soy, I am, plus a nationality, or you can say, soy de, plus a country. Soy canadiense, or soy de Canadá. And lastly, when someone asks you, ¿cuánto tiempo tienes de estar en? Plus a country, which means how long have you been in, plus the place. You can use the verb tener and say tengo, I have, plus however long you've been there. So it'll look like this. ¿Cuánto tiempo tienes de estar en Roatán? Tengo 4 días de estar aquí. I have 4 days of being here. Tengo 4, I have 4 días, days, de estar aquí, of being here. Or you could say, tengo 6 semanas de estar aquí. I have 6 weeks of being here. Or, tengo 2 meses aquí. Tengo 2, I have 2 meses aquí, months here. Or maybe even, tengo 5 años aquí. I tengo 5, I have, años aquí, years here. Now is your turn to repeat. Me llamo. Mi nombre es. Soy canadiense. Soy de Canadá. Tengo 4 días de estar aquí. Tengo 6 semanas de estar aquí. Tengo 2 meses aquí. tengo 5 años aquí. Hablemos sobre Honduras. Let's talk about Honduras. The currency in Honduras is called the Honduran Lempira, which is named after an Indian chief who fought against the Spanish army. Like all Central and Latin American countries, there's always been a fight between the indigenous people and its European powers. So this is very common in Central American countries. Interestingly enough, Honduras is the second in the world with the most coral reefs, following the one and only Australia, who is the first. If you look at Honduras on a map, you'll notice that it touches both the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, and its coast on the Atlantic or the Caribbean Sea is pretty long. A traditional dish worth mentioning from Honduras is called baleadas. Now, baleadas, the best way I could explain it is it's kind of like a Spanish pita that's made with regular baking flour. And when it's warm, it has a similar texture to kind of like roti, if you've ever had roti. And it's usually folded once, and it has frijoles y queso, or beans and cheese, and sometimes avocado or eggs. Another thing I want to mention about Honduras is the Garifuna culture. The Garifuna culture in Honduras is people from African descendancy, and that was mixed with the indigenous people of Central America. And they play a pretty vital role in Honduran history, and they do also have a huge influence on the music, and they make it, you know, a bit more tropical with nice rhythms. Now, I want to thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of Surviving Spanish with Karen, and I hope you learned a lot from all of the tips and information that I gave you in this episode. If you feel you did learn something, I would love for you to tell me what your favorite part of the podcast was. You can just DM me on Instagram. My tag is @SpanishWithKaren. And I'd be really happy to hear what your favorite part was. And if you can share the podcast with anyone who's also learning Spanish, I really hope it'll help them also learn. So this week we looked at answering questions of introduction, and I suggested how much time you should spend studying according to your level, and you also learned about Honduras. So thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week. Nos vemos la próxima semana.